Glenn, thanks a lot for doing this. Normally we talk about the drama that is the day-to-day existence of the Leafs, but today we're talking about Pat Quinn. And I was making the point, Pat Quinn was a guy, there seemed to be a humanity about him. I don't know if you would see the humanity in a guy a little differently as a player than as kind of an outsider. What was your sense of Pat?
No, he was a wonderful person and a great communicator. He had some of the best pregame speeches that I've been involved in, where he would sit the team down and he would put a chair down on the middle of the room and he would kind of put both legs on either side of the chair, and then he would go into, you know, some of the best messages that you could get as a player. You know, I can recall one speech he was talking about the war formation, the British box plus one, and he went into it with great detail and great passion. And I can remember looking at Sergei Berezin thinking, this guy doesn't have a clue what he's talking about. That being said, he was a real genuine person, really caring, cared about the people, cared about the players. He was a player's coach.
You know, the other thing about Pat, I mean, I looked at this guy managing the World Junior team as well, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, every now and then you run into guys who are in their 70s that kids think are cool, or in their late 60s, you know, kids look at them, and it seems to me that Pat Quinn never lost that coolness to him, did he?
No. And I think it's just that ability to communicate and to manage people. That's what coaching is. That's what Al Arbor was best at. That's what Pat Quinn was best at. You just found a way to manage all the egos, manage the people, great communicator. And because of that, you respected him. He spoke to you as a person, spoke to you one-on-one. He wasn't above you. He didn't talk down to you. And, you know, you look at his record as a coach, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the years that he was there, no other coach in the game coached more playoff games than Pat Quinn in those years. And since he has gone, I mean, we've been starved for playoffs. So, yeah, you know, he'll be missed. There's no question. The other thing that, you know, kind of a funny for Pat was he'd love to write on the board with the erasable marker. And then as he tried to wipe the stuff he'd wiped off, he managed to find a way to get it on his nose or on the side of his face. And the entire team would see it, and he didn't know he had it. And we'd all hide our chuckles as he, you know, kind of stood there giving us this big speech with black marks on his face. But, you know, he was a really good man. And certainly anyone who played for him will remember him in a good way, no question.
Glenn Healy joins us on the Jeff Blair Show as we reminisce about Pat Quinn, who passed away this morning at the age of 71. What was he like as an X's and O's guy? Because, you know, people talk about guys being good communicators and all that, but at some point you have to have some X's and O's in you, don't you?
He wasn't very good at X's and O's.
Okay, thanks.
No, it was all about courage, pride in your craft. You know, these are kind of words that you would hear him use. And you know, making sure that you were prepared to play, prepared for battle. You know, breaking the game down with cute little fancy bits. You know, he left that to Alpo Suhonen. You know, somebody else did it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do it. You know, Mike Keenan was like that in a lot of ways. He wasn't an X's and O's guy. He was a guy who just kind of made it so that you were ready to go when the game came. And Pat knew which players were going for him. You know, he was pretty good at that too as well. So, you know, he could look down the bench and recognize my fourth line doesn't have it tonight, or you know, Joe Nieuwendyk doesn't have it tonight, or Glenn Healy doesn't have it tonight. He's not playing. All of that put together, that's a sign of a pretty good coach. And the numbers don't lie. You know, you look at how long he coached for, the number of generations. I mean, literally three generations of player. You know, you can deal with the players in the 70s. You can deal with them a certain way. Then here come the 80s. Now we got the sensitive 90s, and things are different with this new generation of player, the Tweedy generation. He could deal with all those generations. Coached in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and you know, his last little deal with the Oilers. So he knew how to get to people at all different levels.
And Glenn, you know, it's remarkable too, because when I can remember Pat as a player, and I can remember how tough and uncompromising he was as a player. Yet what you're describing to me is a guy who, he was tough, obviously, and he demanded that his players be tough, but he certainly seemed to be a guy who who gave his players free rein as long as they did their job. You know,
no question, no question. And you know, he's one of those guys. You know, Al Arbor, when he coached me with the Islanders, he used to have his dress pants hemmed to his skates, which is kind of ironic. You'd be okay. There you go. That's the length of my pants, you know. And no tracksuit for him. Dress pants. You know, that's the way you coached then. And Pat had a pair of Lang skates that were as old as you could possibly imagine. And he had a bunion on his foot. He actually had a hole cut open in the skate so the bunion would fit through. So these kind of older coaches, you know, they're legend. And that's the way Pat was. But, you know, certainly was a great coach for me, you know, one of the top two.
What do you think we'll see another guy like him that can coach so many different generations? You know, I mean, I'm thinking of Scotty Bowman coached a lot of generations, different guy, I think, than Pat Quinn, but he coached various generations of hockey players. That just seems to me to be such an art. I mean, I think of what it's like now to deal with kids, you know, teenagers. And, man, to be able to do that, is pretty remarkable, to kind of keep a foot in the 70s, the 80s, and 90s, stay true to yourself, but also, you know, also work with kids who are just so different than the previous group of kids you worked with.
Well, it takes a rare breed, and he's one of the rare breeds. Al Arbor would be another one. You mentioned Scotty. Because as a coach, it's hard not to hate your players because they do so many things wrong on the ice that you just can't help but think, wow, could I get someone else than Thomas Caberle to play defense for me? And, you know, that's the challenge for a coach, not to kind of be bitter and to dislike the way your players play and to find fault in a lot of different things. Maybe it's the way we are with our kids too, right? You've got to let your kids kind of fail a little bit so that they will accomplish the next challenge. But there will be another coach that will be like Pat and Al and Scotty for sure. And I look at Cooper in Tampa Bay and think, you know, he looks at the job the right way. He's not about picking fault or hating your players or finding warts in your game, but I'm managing people. That's what I have to do. And, you know, you manage players in the 70s a certain way, 80s a different way, 90s certainly a different way. And this new generation of players, boy, you better be prepared to manage them different because it is different. They are. That's just the way it is. And, you know, you can't change it. The map changes all the time, and you have to change with that map. And that was one of the attributes Pat had.
What when you look back on your time with him, and you told that story about him, you know, pulling a chair into the room and in the middle of the room and sort of sitting astride it and talking, you know, talking about a war analogy. What would be? Is there one? Is that a particular moment, or are there other particular moments you would that sort of sum up Pat Quinn the man to you?
Yeah, you know, I just think that ability to communicate with his players and to reach them at their level, to speak to them as players. And when I looked at Pat, I always looked at him as a player.
Mm-hmm.
He was a player, you know, granted, a little bit older than I was, but I knew he played. And I knew he understood what it took to play. You know, even the way Pat Quinn's kind of career ended, you know, it ended on, like, St. Patrick's Day with a funny hat on where he tried to skateboard because he was being a little bit too Irish. So that's kind of what players like to do every once in a while. And that's the way I looked at him. I didn't look at him as a, you know, above us. He was kind of just one of us, but a little bit older with a lot more expertise.
Yeah, it's remarkable too, isn't it, that a guy can play the way he played as long as he played and coach the way he played and whatever. And you don't find anybody, you can't find anybody say a bad word about him. You know, I mean, that's a real art to have a long career and kind of have to do the things Pat had to do to be successful on the ice. And then, of course, we all know it doesn't matter what type of guy you are. It doesn't matter what coach you are. You're probably going to piss somebody off at some point along the way. And some people are going to hold grudges, but you didn't get that sense with Pat.
No, but you probably don't have Bobby Orr on the phone, though. He might have a different opinion.
That's true.
The endearing image I see is Pat making his way down the boards and hitting Bobby, and then the fans reaching over and punching Pat in the head. That just doesn't happen in today's NHL, does it? No.
You can't even
throw a sweater or a waffle on the ice. They're throwing lefts and rights at him.
That was a hellacious hit.
No, it's a good one.
By the way. Mr. Healy, I appreciate you joining us. Thanks so much.
All right, sad day, but... Yep. You know, we'll pay honor to a good man.